Hello. So I first want to describe the larger parent study that we're conducting. This is a NIDA-funded R01 study. You can see the amazing colleagues that I'm working with. And we are interested in homeless adults who are at least 40 years old in the greater Los Angeles area who are moving into permanent supportive housing. And it's a longitudinal study, and we're interested in seeing how their health behavior and social networks, their social relationships, change over time. So from homelessness into housing, we're going to be following them up to 12 months after being in housing. This has been a rolling enrollment study, and I'm pleased to announce that we just finished our enrollment on Friday. So this presentation is reflective only of the baseline data, and we are still continuing our longitudinal data. So more to come in future APHAs. And for this particular presentation, I want to focus on the gender differences, particularly related to support and resources. I have no financial relationships to disclose. As we know, there is a large homelessness problem in this country. In the 2014 United States Point in Time count, there were about 84,000 chronically homeless individuals who were identified. There are over 28,000 in California, which is the highest in the country. And just this year in the greater Los Angeles area, there were over 12,000 chronically homeless individuals identified, and about a third of them were women. Permanent supportive housing is a relatively new intervention, at least in our country, and it's designed to end chronic homelessness. The goal is that it's permanent, meaning they're not getting kicked out after a certain period of time. And there are supportive services that are made available to them. And this is actually a new building that just opened up in Skid Row. As is this one that was recently renovated. Last year in LA, there were about 3,600 housing placements of chronically homeless individuals, and that does include veterans. And there is a big nationwide push to end veteran homelessness, and so about a third of our overall sample are veterans. Really, not much is known or has been done recently about gender differences between homeless men and women, and particularly related to people who are moving into housing. And so that's the focus of this presentation, and particularly related to individual characteristics and social networks. Of work that has been done previously, though, there was a study done in the early 90s in LA County. And there were some significant differences in terms of demographics. Women were younger, less educated. Men were homeless for a longer period of time throughout their life. Women were more likely to have major depression. But this study did not find any differences in terms of monthly income or mental health care utilization in the past 2 months. There was a permanent supportive housing demonstration project that was done throughout the country in 2004, I believe. And it was coordinated by all these major federal agencies, the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, HUD, Health and Human Services, and Veterans Affairs. And they found, this is of people who were homeless and moving into housing, they found that women were more likely to be younger, less likely to be veterans. This study did not find any differences in terms of homelessness duration or mental health. And in terms of social support, about half of homeless women in Los Angeles reported not having any support from friends, relatives, or romantic partners. In a nationwide study of homeless people who are engaged in mental health services, homeless women had more social support than their male counterparts. And then in Skid Row, which is an area in downtown Los Angeles with a high concentration of homeless people, homeless men there, their social networks had a high rates of relatives, so about 22% of their networks were relatives, and 39% consisted of people who provided support. So again, this is a newer concept, a newer intervention, and we want to know more about how and what are people entering housing with, because this is probably not going to be a one-size-fits-all, particularly related to gender, so we want to be able to inform the supportive services that are being offered. And in particularly, we are interested in social network composition, support, resources, and health. To be eligible for our study, they needed to be homeless, at least 40 years old, speak English or Spanish, moving into permanent supportive housing in the next 3 months, moving in without children, and moving within a 15 to 20 mile radius of downtown Los Angeles. We had 24 community-based agency partners who provided the referrals to our research study, and then we conducted a one-on-one interviewer-administered interview. It was done through an iPad, and we had two parts. There was a questionnaire and a social network interview. It was done in English or Spanish. And the variables I'm going to focus on today are demographics, homelessness history, how they got their permanent supportive housing. And then for the social network interview, we asked them to nominate people who they had interacted with in the past 3 months. And of those people, we wanted to know what their relationship was to them, and then their support. ALTER is a fancy social network term for someone who they're connected to. So again, this analysis is only reflecting the baseline interviews. We've conducted 3, 6, and 12 month interviews with some of our participants, but again, that's ongoing through 2017. So we have a ways to go. We have currently 3 transgender persons in our study. They were excluded from these analyses because we did not have an adequate sample size to be able to do a sufficient comparison. And the analyses are only on the 438 people who are enrolled as of October 21st, so I could finish this presentation in time. So I'm going to show you the univariable analyses of tests that we did for differences by gender. So overall, 26% of our sample are women. We asked separate questions about race and ethnicity for reporting standards. 18% identified as Hispanic, 55% as Black, and 27% as white. And there were no gender differences by race or ethnicity. There were several statistically significant differences in terms of demographics. So like previous studies, women were younger, about 53 years old compared to 55 years old for men. Women were less likely to have at least a high school education, and they reported a much smaller past 30-day income by about $200 on average. Not surprising, men were more likely to be a military veteran, and women were more likely to be in a relationship currently. In terms of homelessness histories, like previous studies showed, men were more likely to have a greater lifetime duration to literal homelessness. And we define literal homelessness as being staying on the street, in a shelter, an abandoned bridge or building, or garage, shed, indoor public place, riding public transportation all night, basically a place that's not designed to be sleeping in. There were no differences, though, in being literally homeless in the past 3 months, which is interesting. And women were significantly more likely to be on a wait list for permanent supportive housing. So that's at about 76% compared to 58% of men. That could be because of the push to end veteran homelessness. In terms of health differences, we have very high rates of chronic physical health conditions for both genders, but women were significantly more likely to have ever been diagnosed with a chronic physical health condition at 93%. And women were also significantly more likely to have been diagnosed with a chronic mental health condition at 85%. We also, though, asked them about past month symptoms of PTSD and other mental health disorders, and there were no significant gender differences for at least symptoms in the past month. We asked all of our participants about what services they had utilized in the past 3 months. I'm not listing them all here. There were about 24 services that we asked them about. The only statistically significant differences were for therapy. So women, 76% of women compared to 54% of men had reported using therapy or psychiatric services in the past 3 months. And then more importantly, women were much more likely to have had unmet need in the past 3 months, and particularly related to help with educational goals and help finding a job. And that kind of ties back into the demographic differences that we found in that women had a lower income and had less education than the men in our study. And in terms of the social networks, so again, we asked them, who have you interacted with in the past 3 months? And which of these people fit these categories? And this is representing the proportions of their networks. So women were significantly more likely to have relatives or greater proportion of relatives in their networks. So 34% of their networks were composed of relatives compared to 21% of men. And then men had much greater proportions of professionals in their networks. That includes caseworkers and agency staff, healthcare professionals, and mental health care professionals. And men also had a greater proportion of their networks of people who lived or worked far away. But there were no significant differences in terms of people who are homeless or who lived in permanent supportive housing or who live or work nearby. And in terms of support, women demonstrated or had greater proportions of their networks who provided support. So 44% of women's networks were people who they felt emotionally close to, and that's compared to 35% of men's networks. Women also had more tangible support in their network, and so that was defined as someone who they could provide, who provided them with like food, clothes, a place to stay, money. That was at 25% of their networks. And women also had a greater proportion of their networks who they had conflict with. So that was 20% of their networks compared to 14%. There were no differences in terms of advice, being able to borrow money from someone, who they could confide in. As with any study, there are limitations. So this was a cross-sectional analysis, although the study's longitudinal, this analysis is just cross-sectional. All the data was self-reported and was collected from Los Angeles County. So although we have a diverse geographic region of our sites, Los Angeles County is very different in terms of their homelessness services and their housing compared to other parts of the country. And our sample is limited to people who are at least 40 years old. So it could be different, especially for Tay, or even perhaps 25 to 39-year-olds. So there's a few summary points and conclusions that I want to point out. One, it appears that women are facing greater difficulties in achieving housing, so and for providing for their basic needs. So they have a lower income in the past month, they're more likely to be on wait lists, they have a lower education. And although women are seeming to receive a great number of services, especially therapy, there's still a lot of unmet need that they have. And homeless men need more social support in their networks. And for both genders, there's very high rates of chronic conditions. And so that really needs to be addressed in terms of supportive services, both entering housing and then while in housing too. This is just a Venn diagram illustrating the differences. So in summary, men were more likely to have their needs met, be more educated, have a higher income, less likely to be on a wait list, have a greater proportion of their social networks who are composed of agency staff and healthcare professionals, and fewer of them were diagnosed with a chronic condition. And women, on the other hand, were receiving greater therapy, or more therapy at least, had a shorter duration of lifetime homelessness, had a greater proportion of their social networks who were composed of relatives, and had more social support in their networks. And then again, no differences in terms of past month mental health symptoms. So we're going to begin to analyze our longitudinal data, and we really are interested in seeing how health behaviors and social networks change over time. And we'll continue to look at gender differences as well. And so maybe next year at APHJ we'll have some more exciting findings. These are my references, and big thank you to all my colleagues and our amazing interviewers, and of course our participants and agency partners.